Here it is. It's a part of the song I really love. I don't know why. Anyway, my name is Steve Oatley. This show is called Freight Broker Live, the one and only talk show run by an active freight broker. And I've been going back and forth with some people for the past hour. So let me just go into the news right away. For anyone who doesn't know, I am an active freight broker, not really moving much freight now because we have this whole economic downturn thing that's going on. It's kind of causing everybody a mass panic. Well, all right, so where do I even start? We all know about the protests. We all know about cheap freight, so I'm going to skip through all that stuff. So let's go into the brass tacks of it. All right, if you're watching this on Facebook, please do me a solid and share it out. I didn't get a chance to because I was working on the article I just put out and then finally getting a response from the TIA or from the OIDA, which I got, which it is what it is. And they're right. So the first thing I'm going to say is I'm going to do a retraction. I'm going to do it live on the air. It does look like that the OIDA on April 14th sent a message to the House Small Business Committee, Small Business and Entrepreneurship Committee, and they sent a letter asking for some PPP guidance and all that stuff. But since then, there's been nothing. That's the latest one that they said. They chose to be on the sidelines and not really do anything proactive, in my personal opinion. And then they ended up, moving on. And then focusing on the whole price gouging and all that stuff. Here's something funny. Kevin Winkler said, having crow for lunch today. Why? Because the president gave a little speech and said, yeah, people are getting whatever. I covered that too. Yeah, for all the naysayers out there, I'm probably your biggest supporter. I'm the one that went to D.C. All the people that talk online didn't. Anyway, so the biggest news. So we know this morning, President Trump, I wrote an article on it immediately following before he was even done talking. I was typing up the article, it seemed. But I put out an article this morning about President Trump. Essentially, he just acknowledged price gouging for a second, saying he knows that there's price gouging going on. And then he just proceeded to say, oh, look, they have nice, shiny trucks. That's essentially it. He didn't really say anything else concrete except by saying, yes, they are price gouging. What caused a massive like pat on the back for everybody that's been advocating for this whole price gouging, price transparency, BS stuff that's going around. And I call it BS because of whatever. I call it BS because it's not going to happen. It's not going to do anything, in my opinion. But you guys know. So yesterday I wrote the article about OIDA and the TIA kind of going back and forth about the whole price gouging thing. But everyone was just forgetting about the most important thing. What do you think the most important thing was? Or what do you think the most important thing in a time of an economic crisis during a national pandemic? What does it appear that all the facilitators of this thing are forgetting in D.C. as of my video yesterday? Well, some sort of economic relief for small business truckers that are on the ground there, right? When I was up in D.C., I talked to everybody. I talked to carriers. I talked to there are no brokers except me, but I talked to carriers. And it was universal. Some of them were going to lose their trucks very soon. There's quite a few people that I already know that have had to park their trucks permanently because they're out of money. They can't run for 88 cents a mile or whatever the basic economics is putting rates down. We all know that. People don't necessarily understand that. It seems, I know I argue supply and demand. The TIA press release that I'm going to talk about in a second argues supply and demand as well. Yes, of course, there are some price gouging, low life scumbags, scum sucking freight brokers out there, but the majority of freight brokers aren't that way. Contrary to what people believe, it's not that. And I know this is a novel concept that someone that identifies as a freight broker like me, that I can actually stand and support with truckers. It's one of my favorite things to do, to be honest. Now I found that I'm actually, if I can get someone on the phone, man, they actually have a chance to listen to me and I listen to them and we go back and forth. I did that with a bunch of my YouTube friends today, all the guys that have been making all these videos saying, you're not with us, you're not one of us and all that stuff. Well, guess what? We had a big conference call this morning and I think they understand my position. Anyway, so why am I so excited? I know you guys are probably like, wait, why? And I'll tell you why I'm so excited, because we have some big news. It seems like someone's finally listening, and I'm not talking about a little shout out from President Trump. And I'm going to tell you what that is after a commercial from my sponsors.
Aren't you tired of your outdated server installed TMS? Are you stuck with a software that looks like it was developed when the Matrix movie was popular? Well, Ascend TMS is here to bring you to the actual future of TMS solutions. You can literally get started in less than 15 seconds. Ascend TMS is one of the only true cloud-based TMS softwares on the market. While other softwares could take weeks or even months to implement, Ascend TMS just takes a few moments. See, we actually timed it. And what about features? I think we have you covered there. Here at Ascend TMS, we're so confident you'll make your business more efficient and profitable in your first 30 days, we give it to you for free. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today at thefreetms.com.
All right, so now if that didn't get you all amped up. So why am I so excited? Why am I at my normal, my speed, the way that I do shows when I get excited or pissed off, one or the other? Well, the TIA seem to have been listening to me. And I don't know if they're actually listening to me, but they ended up putting out a press release today. And the title of this press release was TIA issues a statement in response to President Trump's statement on price gouging by brokers. It goes back and forth about the whole economics thing. And I think it's very important for people to actually read it, because it does do a lot to actually explain some of this supply and demand. This is what all the brokers are yelling at carriers and saying, you need to understand economics. You don't understand economics. And carriers are like, no, brokers suck. It's all brokers. Brokers are horrible people. I get it. There's no one else for you to blame. And if you don't understand, supply and demand and that kind of stuff, you're not really going to understand the market and how rates are calculated and all that. Well, all that aside, there was one paragraph in this 6 paragraph article. One paragraph that stuck out to me, because you guys know what I've been saying since the very beginning. I've been saying it since the very beginning. Nobody, it seems, is paying attention to the economic impact of this on small business trucking. Nobody, that from the leaders there in Washington of this DC protest to Mr. Rick Santiago to anybody that I've taught. Well, I take that back. Until today, nobody that actually has a platform that I've heard that I've been aware of has asked for any sort of economic relief at all. Not a single person. Well, today, This is the craziest thing. And again, OIDA, when I sent them a message and I left them a message talking like I am now, so I'm surprised she was even able to understand what I said. They asked for economic finance on April 14th. They sent me a piece of paper and said, Steve, we have been putting out requests to Congress and the White House for several weeks, including relief to small business truckers. So apparently on April 14th, they put out something, and I don't really see anything else that has to do with direct financial assistance. I only see it having to do with hours of service and Mayday, 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 and PPE and that kind of stuff. But it didn't have to do with something that could immediately help the industry. Anyway, well, the TIA did it. Yes. A freight broker association, an association comprised of freight brokers and 3PLs, said this: we too love the truckers. Our members can't survive without them, and they need our members too. No American business is doing well right now. What independent truckers need right now is access to federal relief funding, and President Trump should direct the SBA to take action to support them rather than pointing fingers at other American small businesses, the vast majority of which also support President Trump. So the head, or maybe not the head, because I don't know who this is by, but a freight broker association directly calls out and says, hey, guess what we need? Guess what we need? We need support for American truckers. Because while the OIDA is focused on broker transparency and pushing whatever narrative they're trying to push, and I know why, it's probably because hundreds of members probably bailed up or bailed out. But a freight broker association, which is kind of funny because I said it yesterday, right? I said it yesterday in my show, and I'm like, this is mind-blowing. And the article that I wrote yesterday that did very well in terms of clicks, meaning, and that's how I gauge an article. I could tell if people are actually reading stuff by how long people stay on the page and all that stuff. So that article did very well. A lot of people read it. A lot of people shared it. Well, today, the TIA says, hey, you know what, Mr. Steve, and not really, I'm taking credit for this, though. I don't care. They say, guess what? We agree with you. And let's change the narrative. Instead of fighting with carriers back and forth, let's show that we need to support them. So the TIA did something that, to me, nobody else has done. Nobody else has constantly, like someone just said, banged on the pot saying, hey, aren't you forgetting about us? Well, the TIA did. A freight broker association told the president in a statement, you are forgetting about small business trucking. Open up funding so these guys are able to continue. Nobody has done anything like that. It's amazing to me. It's amazing. What's sad is it took so long. I mean, it took so long. You know, but hey, they're the first association that's actually made a ploy since this whole protest started. Let's just say that, you know, I'll give credit where credit's due. OIDA apparently sent a letter back nearly a month ago, and I haven't seen any other messages about funding from OIDA. And if I'm wrong, if they're watching, they watched my video yesterday and you guys read the article, the OIDA people read the articles yesterday. You're welcome to correct me. Your PR person has my email. But from what I understand, it looks like OIDA made a plea for financial assistance back on April 14th and then simply forgot about it. And so the TIA, whether it's because they heard my calling or whatever, I'm taking credit for that shit. Everyone's taking credit for stuff all over the place. Well, I'm taking credit for that. I went and gave my wife a big hug and I said, I did it. Not really. But, you know, but that's it. I'm taking credit for it. Someone finally listened to something I had to say. And the TIA sent out a press release. And even though it's one paragraph, because the rest of it kind of, you know, goes on and talks about, and it, the link's in the article that I just put out. That's why this video was late. But they did something that nobody else has done in terms of leadership. It's a thing I said last week to Rick on the video when I was there. I said, you know, when I asked him, what are you looking for? And he's like, no, I don't know. And I said, why not some sort of economic relief to help all your truck driving friends here that you got here? Why don't you try to say something like, hey, we need financial relief to affect change and to keep these trucking companies open. Yeah, if you guys want to push that whole cheap freight and broker transparency narrative down the line, go ahead and do it. I fully support you. You know, it's your right to do it. It's your right to have books opened up, and I fully support that as well. Do I think it's going to do anything to improve your livelihood? Absolutely not. I think it's a huge waste of time. But the fact is, nobody was paying attention to what was really important. And maybe they will now. Probably not. I'll probably be the only person to highlight this. You know what I mean? Because everyone else, Transportation Nation, is pushing the broker transparency thing. CDL for Life is pretty good. They're honest. They, you know, maybe they'll pick it up. But nobody's been pushing it. Selvedon, blah, 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 bling. I don't know your last name. You say funding is not a solution. It absolutely is. It's going to help small business truckers stay afloat even a little bit until rates are able to mark up. I know there's a lot of people that just want to kind of see these kind of carriers, the smaller carriers that don't necessarily have the funds to survive. Or want to see them not survive. That's not what I'm about. I'm about trying to support everybody. You know, whether it's a carrier, broker, you know, I want to support everybody and see them be successful. So I firmly believe the government should do it. The Department of Transportation yesterday signed a $500 million loan to the Port of Long Beach for construction. Well, we've got truckers that are closing and going out of business. You know what's horrible? We're shopping health insurance. This is an off the topic conversation. We're shopping health insurance. My wife is a teacher here in Florida. The health insurance plans with her school suck. Anyway, so we're shopping health insurance. I go online, I put my information in. I must have received 5,000 phone calls today from people trying to sell health insurance. Unbelievable. Anyway, so that's why if you guys hear the beep, beep, beep during, it's because I'm on. I have for the connection. Whatever. It's just crazy. I'm very happy that something's done. You know, that someone finally says something intelligent in this argument of, you know, arguments. Someone is finally doing something to try to change something. You know, the catch with funding is, yes, we're going to have to pay it back. I mean, come on. It's you know, unless it's, you know, no matter what, we're going to pay all this shit back. All the money they give out right now, everyone's going to pay it back in taxes as years to come. But if it can help people survive and maintain their livelihoods, and just like someone else said, it could help them maintain the bills, you know, and they don't have to run. They could pay their truck notes. They could pay their insurance. They could pay their bills that they have to. And then they could go get some other part-time job in a warehouse or something until rates come back. You know, and George Jorge, I don't know how you say name, George Diaz or Jorge Diaz said he's still rooting for transparency. Again, I don't care if someone wants to do it's who cares? You know, if someone wants to open up for transparency, then open up for transparency and request your paperwork. I frankly could give two craps about it as a broker. I think a lot of people think brokers are all shady. Unfortunately, or the fortunate thing about it is if companies answer that and pay attention to it and actually answer those requests for transparency, it's only the only thing it's going to do in most cases is it's going to cause the carrier to go, wait, what? I thought all brokers make 65%. Rick Santiago said all brokers are making 65%. No, they're not. That was a lie. You know, but hey, so that's why I'm a fan of broker transparency right now, because there's so much misinformation out there. You know, but I don't know. It's a funny situation. Because I don't know. I'm so amped up right now. I feel like someone watched my show and listened. Finally. Someone watched my show and listened. I had like five or six LinkedIn messages and a couple of emails from people saying, you know what? The TIA listened to you. Look at what they just put out. I'm like, yeah, finally, someone listened. What the sad part is, I've been saying it for weeks. How I should have been it's annoying. Man, this is why I started the trade organization. You know, I think people need to actually work in the industry when you run these organizations and run, have your feet wet, you know, have time in the seat, understand the industry through and through. You know, I'm extremely impressed. I'm not a TIA member, but I you know, I'm an associate member or whatever through connections. And this made me happy, you know, just like I said yesterday. I'm like, can you imagine what it would do as a PR thing? I mean, they're the first ones who've come out and said it like this. Apparently in April 14th, OIDA did. But I'm gonna cover it because I don't cover any of that. So I'm not gonna cover it. Truckers Coach DA or Truckers Coach TV. What's up, buddy? Hey, remember earlier when we were talking about with you, Truckers Coach, we were talking about maybe just someone stepping up and saying, hey, you guys are forgetting about the little trucking companies out there, and they need economic relief now. Remember we were talking about that at like 11 o'clock or whenever we were talking. Well, guess what? The country's largest freight broker association came out and said, you got to support truckers. Isn't that amazing? After freight brokers have been getting railroaded left and right and blamed for, you know, everything. Some with just cause. I'm not going to say that. I don't want to lose viewers because they think, oh, I'm siding with a broker. I side with whoever the hell I want to. It's my show. Anyway, you know, some brokers are being greedy, but a broker association comes out in public and says, you know what? You guys are forgetting the most important thing. You're forgetting the most important thing. You're forgetting about economic relief for the truckers that are going to go out of business. Because what does freight transparency do if you don't have a trucking company? What does freight or hours of service regulations do if you don't have a trucking company? What does fighting autonomous trucks and increased educational requirements for as a barrier of entry do if you're out of business because you don't have a trucking company and you didn't get any funding? Finally, someone uses their head in transportation and gets something done. And because I just wrote about it yesterday and because I made two videos and talking about it, I am taking full credit. I am pulling a Rick Santiago and I am taking credit for the whole damn thing. Joe Gertz said, is Ascend TMS good for a small carrier to 3 to 5 trucks? Absolutely. Ascend TMS is probably good for a one truck operation, a freight broker, a large carrier. It's got everything. Driver payroll. You could pay them. I think it's by mile, percentage, or hourly, all within the system. It'll do all that. It's awesome. But I'm excited about that. So I hope you guys, share this video out. I hope that people share the article out, because that article went out just right before this. I hope you guys share that article out very well. I hope carriers see it. Oh, shit. Did Rick put out another video? I'll have to look it up. I didn't see another video. I actually looked. You know, because I had a meeting this morning and I got really amped up and I got mad because I'm being nice and I'm not putting out all the stuff that I've learned over the time on him. You know, because I don't want to sour the mood that of the protesters in D.C. I don't want to sour those people, you know. Ascend TMS, they have a free version and then they have a paid version. I think it's, I don't know. You got to call them and say you were referred by me, Freight Broker Live, because you get a discount too. That's good. Trucker's coach said, hell with it. I'm going to D.C. when they leave. I don't think they're going to leave. Now, I mean, did you see the amped upness this morning? And I'm not making fun of them, but as soon as the president came out and said, brokers, yeah, they're getting gouged. Yep. I love trucks, big, shiny trucks. You see how big they are? You see how nice they look? Yeah, I'm with truckers. I gave them hats. But now they're all reaffirmed and they're like, hey, guess what? We're going to have a meeting. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to have a meeting or anything like that. Nikita Shmilovsky said, please put out your comments. There was a part in there that made it look like a slight money grab, not a good look on his part. I don't know. Are you talking about the video? David Quacklebaum said, Rick says, hopefully he will be at the Department of Justice. What? Under arrest? No, I didn't do that. Never mind. Oh, my gosh. I'm happy, man. You don't know. I drove 2,300 miles. I drove 2,300 miles on Wednesday, and I asked the same question. I said, how come everyone's looking at different solutions, but no one's actually focusing on the immediate solutions that could actually fix the problem? You know, and I said it there. I said it to Rick. I said it to everybody. I said it live in my interview with him. I said, how come nobody's focusing on anything that'll actually solve any issues right now? You know what I mean? And then you have naysayers like Mr. Ned Stevens on YouTube right now who said freight brokers came out and said, give them assistance. Of course they did. It's huge pressure for broker regulation. They want to find a different solution other than regulation. Hilarious. Okay, well, take whatever you want. Take whatever you want. Take whatever you want. If that's the reason why you think they did it, then good for them. I still, even if that is the real reason, if they think it's going to deter people from this whole price transparency thing, good for them. You know, because maybe it'll actually help somebody. Maybe something somebody does will actually help someone in the immediate time, in the immediate future right now. We need Jonathan Segalolo on Facebook said because we don't need a temporary fix. Well, the truckers maybe I'm different, but I think yesterday's survey I did. Will you make it? Or I forgot what the survey question was, but are you going to make it till this? Will you make it financially without financial help? 48% of the people that were watching, which I think it broke down to over 50 people. So over 50 people that were watching my show yesterday said, no, they will not. Without some sort of financial assistance, 58 people said that they were going to end up having to close. So even if one company is forced to close because the OIDA or the TIA or the people in Dallas, DC didn't actually do anything to affect any kind of immediate change, temporary fix to try to keep people working and making money and living, that's too many. So while some people say we don't need a temporary fix, that for every one that says we don't need it, there's at least 50 people that do need some sort of financial assistance in order to be able to keep going. You know, and there's a good comment right there, William. You said it's not temporary if you know what the hell you're doing. Stretch the assistance out and use it wisely. People got to use their heads. You know, Josh Markin said attempt fix would be better than losing everything. Novel concept, right? A novel concept. So I'm super excited because I think that, you know, even if it's not because of me, it's because of me. Even if it, you know, they didn't watch my video and they just came up with this idea on their own. Well, I said it yesterday. So it's my idea. And I've been saying it for a long time. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. You know, Clarence Versty said, if we don't make it, brokers can make it. I got to go over to Facebook because I'm not able to see the correct comments here. So I don't know what the context is. So let me open it up on the screen. Jonathan said, no, sir. The real problem here is that brokers want more money than carriers. Well, again, Jonathan, are you a freight broker? Jonathan, why don't you call in? 914-803-4008. Let's do it. Let's open up the phone lines. 914-803-4008. I would love to hear a real broker, not some, you know, Antifa looking guy that goes on Rick Santiago's video, because newsflash, if you go on Santiago's video, you're not going to have any credibility. And I'm just saying that in all honesty, in terms of anyone that actually gives a shit about the industry, if you go on a video with Rick Santiago, you don't have any credibility in my book. Everyone's welcome to come on my show and argue with me about it. You guys know that. I'm more than willing to have an argument with anybody about it. But you're welcome to call in, whoever that was. Who was that? Jonathan. You know, because I'll be honest, brokers don't want to make more money than carriers. And that's just a biased opinion that is not based in fact. If you could back that up factually, then send me the information. But if you can't, it's just a biased opinion. It doesn't make any sense. RD Trucking said, why don't you want people to focus on transparency? I could give two shits about transparency, to be completely honest. It doesn't affect me at all. What affects me is trying to make sure that the trucking companies are able to stay open. That's it. That's what I care about. I want the trucking companies to be able to stay open. You guys could push for the transparency. I mean, to be honest, it's in the regulations. So don't let it die out. But what does that do to immediately fix any of the issues that are going on right now? Does anything with transparency right now? Because you know what the regs say. Nobody's looking to have the regs changed. They're only, well, in part, no one's really looking to have regs changed. The only thing they're asking to do is to enforce them, to force brokers to be able to not have provisions in their broker carrier contracts, allowing carriers to, or requiring carriers to waive their rights to, have access to the transaction. But that's the funny thing. If you actually understand what you're entitled to by the transaction, you're not entitled to notice or to know what a broker is making before you do the load. You have to complete the load. You have to be paid, and then you can request the paperwork. So it literally would do nothing in the immediate short-term effect to help the industry at all. I'm not an opponent of it. Like I've said 15 times during this show already, if someone wants to look at my finances, you guys are going to be hard up. You know, I'll show you. And then you're going to be like, wait, what? A broker's not making 16%, but Rick Santiago said all brokers are making 65%. Well, that's not how it actually is. So maybe I'm one of the few people. Are there brokers that are making 30 or 40% every now and then? Yeah. Are there brokers that are making it continuously now? Probably. But the majority of brokers aren't. The majority of brokers are most likely like me, where they saw a massive reduction in freight volume and their customers got wise to the fact that freight was moving super cheap and we weren't charging that. And we were paying carriers what they should have been paid the entire time. I didn't change my rates because market rates went down. To be honest, market rates started tanking and then my customer pulled the loads from me and went directly to the boards. You know, because he could find trucks that were cheaper than what I was willing to sell for. You know what I'm saying? Josh said he must have really made people mad. He's not reading the comments. No, it's only a few, but I'm just sticking on him. I'm just sticking on him. So Jonathan Sigalario's comment before was in response to William. Nikita said... Nikita Shablovsky, this name here. I don't know how you say it, your last name. I think I was pretty close, right? Shablovsky. Anyway, you asked, just curious, what's the average percent a broker makes pre-COVID? Who knows? The average percent I made was 3.9%, but that's me because I was a volume broker. I would say, you know, the TIA says the average commission is 16%. I can say it's probably only been a handful of times that I've even made that. So that would definitely not be my average. If you took my average when I was working for other people, it would probably be around 8%. I was never, I'm not into the big commissions, you know, and that's not the way it works. It doesn't actually work that way. You know, people aren't always just making massive commissions and making 50 or 60%, just like other people say, just like they say the national van rate should be $6.21. Come on, bro. That's also someone that doesn't understand that it's not a good thing to say on a video that you had to start up a whole new company because your CSR or your CSA score was low. Because he did that too. I mean, you guys, I mean, the people that you look for representation, this is what I was talking about with a group earlier. The people that are looking for representation, look harder, because the people that you're flocking to and defending and all the time, they're not that great, man. They're not that great. We have a caller, so let's pick this up and see how this caller goes. What's up, man? You're on the air.
Hey, Steve. This is Roman with Speed Express.
Yeah,
hey, what's good up? Work on that on the trucker's side, and it seems like it paid off.
Yeah,
hey,
it seems that
I
way.
I was listening to yesterday's show, and there was a caller that asked about, you know, the actually had an accusation that carriers don't have the same tools that brokers do.
Yeah,
I know you are a reseller for DAT, and that's something that I've been thinking about, and I kind of agree with him, and maybe you can find out from them. So you know, I have the power.
Yeah,
but the problem is I can only use it on a laptop or a desktop. I can't use any of the tools besides the load board on my phone, even though I have like one of those large phones. It doesn't work.
What kind of phone do you have?
So that's one of the things. I have a Note 10 Plus.
Yeah, which is this phone, so right, like, here. It's the same phone as I have, and guess what? You can use them, yeah, all there. There's when you use a Chrome window, click on the hold on, because you just said you can't use them on that, but you can click on the Chrome window and then the three little dots up in the corner and say view as full page, and then it shows up. Is it hard to see? Yeah, you're using on a phone. Use it in a laptop in your truck, and then you're fine.
I mean, can you use it? Sure, yeah, if you have a microscope. But here's the other thing that they've done actually, like the last month. Before, when you would go in on a load and you scroll, you know, to look at the broker section,
yeah,
they would list broker reviews left by carriers. They've removed that.
Right, because now you have to go to the directory. I mean, if you don't like the way the tools are laid out, then that's your problem. If the tools are available for you to use, you just have to figure out how to use them so it's effective. Because if you look at the comments right now, everyone is saying the same thing. You can easily do it. Or buy yourself a laptop and use it in the truck. Just don't do it while driving. But the tools are available. I think, it is what it is. Come on, Roman. Come on, man.
No. So, like, are the tools there, but are they easy to use? No. Like, I use the reviews all the time when I go look on a load board. Because if I see a one review that says that they're not paying, guess what? I'm not booking that load.
Right.
And it wasn't like, it's not like it was taking so much real estate, you know, on the app. So I'm not saying that's there by design. It could be there, you know, just, I don't know, they did not foresee that. But I think that's
I know what you're getting at. You know, no, it's not a big conspiracy theory to take down small carriers. You have to know how to use tech. You have to be, this is your job. I don't think anyone in trucking wants a handout. So if you want them to have the DAT Power app on, I mean, because you know what? I don't have it, and you don't have it as a carrier either. Brokers, we don't have some secret special broker side app that we're able to use. You know what we have is a computer. That's what we have. We have a computer. We don't have some special broker app that shows the market index and all that stuff. So it's not, I mean, come on, man. That's just being petty. But hey, thanks, Roman, for calling in.
I'm
not dealing with that kind of crap. We did that last night. Listen. It's not about handouts and trying to make the jobs easier. It's about trying to make sure that trucking companies stay open right now. That's what it's about, is making sure trucking. I don't know how to use it on my phone. I got the same damn phone. I can open up DAT right now and I can show you the market maps. I can look up brokers. I can do everything that you can on a phone. People have to learn how to do their damn job. That's what it is. Is owner operators are pissed because it takes too long to look for a load? If I hire a dispatcher to do it then. Do whatever you got to do. There are tools that are available, but if you want some little automated computer system that's going to be like, here's your best load. We'll book it for you. We'll run credit, blah, blah, blah. They're not out yet. Hopefully someday they'll come out, but they're not out yet. You know, sorry. My bad. I'm not trying to be mean, but come on, bro. All right, let's see. We have another caller here. We have one that's got 11111. That phone number. You got to press 1 if you want to come on the line. What's up, 423? I know who you are.
What's up, Steve? Hey, brother. I am super excited, and I'm glad to see that someone's listening to you.
Yeah.
But I do believe you're wrong about there not being some sort of bailout for trucking. It's already here. It was called the PPP and the PPE. The problem with it was that the wrong people were getting it. You had companies like the Los Angeles Lakers getting $8.5 million,
right.
Harvard University getting almost $10 million. I mean, I'm not disagreeing that small business, there's not something being done properly. It's being mismanaged, but it is here in the form of these loans and these grants. I've got $1,000 from the PPP thing.
No, that's now, from the EIDL one or whatever. That's not the PPP, but I got you.
Right. Well, according to my tax guy that helped me fill out for all this stuff, he said, look, you're going to get the $1,000 now because there's one employee. You'll get the $9,000 later. So it's here. It's just now here's what I'm hearing out here. This is me. Just like when you went to D.C. I'm hearing guys, I ain't going to get that. I'm going to stand on my morals. I said, well, you can stand on your damn morals all you want. You want to go out of business or you want to stay in business?
Right.
I mean, it's there for a reason. I don't agree with it because, like you said, you're going to borrow $1,000. Let's just use that as a number. But you're going to pay back $21,000 in taxes over the next 20 years. You know,
right.
It's stupid. But at the same time, if me and five other people are trying to stay in business, and somebody goes and gets that loan or that money, I'd be an absolute idiot not to go and try to do the same thing because that person's now sitting down there on $10,000 or $100,000 or whatever it is,
right,
above what I've got if I don't have it. So I think drivers, you know, like I said last night, you got a phone and you have a $1,200 laptop in your hand,
right,
and you can find out information at the stroke of a pen,
right,
or you can you can go with these places like OOID. I'm not saying I like OOID, but they'll point you in the direction of, hey, go here, fill this out, get this money, you know, lower your operating costs by doing this. I still think this is back to personal responsibility. The bailouts are here. I just think either A, the drivers aren't doing what they need to do to get it, or B, it's being mismanaged.
Right.
That's all I had to say.
All right, bro. Thank you. But yeah, the PPP loan, and then what that guy was talking about is not the PPP loan. That's the EIDL, the grant, where you get $1,000 up front, and then eventually the SBA is going to send you the paperwork for the other $9,000 grant. That's not a PPP loan. The PPP loan is something that, here's an easy solution for anyone who hasn't got the PPP loan. I know it works. There's people I trust that I've referred over there. At least 3 of you guys have gotten the PPP loan. Go to paypal.com. You can apply for the PPP loan there. I don't get any referral bonus. You're not mentioning, hey, I saw it on Freight Broker Live. But go there. You can do your PPP loan. You update you upload your Schedule C in there as an independent contractor, and you will get the paperwork. Well, as long as you follow all the guidelines and submit the right paperwork, you will get the PPP loan. It all depends on your income and how much you get. But that's the truth, and I know people have got it. We'll probably see a comment from one of them, you know, here very soon, because it does happen, and people can get it. But yeah, the what he got is different than the PPP loan. That was the, like someone just said, the EIDL. That's what that was. Everybody got it. All you did is fill out a little application online. You didn't even submit any documents. That's it. And then they kick you out $1,000, and then eventually we get some paperwork from the SBA that we'll have to fill out for the other $9,000 if it ever comes. But that's it. But yeah, man, that's it. Here's the goat. We'll check out the goat commercial.
I'm simply the best, better than all the rest. Yeah.
What's a singing goat have to do with factoring? Nothing. OTR Capital. Better than the rest.
I tell you what. I always say the story when I used to play that commercial a lot back in the day. The funniest thing about that commercial is when I was making that video, I didn't listen to myself talk. So I didn't realize I talked that way in that video until I played it the first time on the air. And now I love it. It's so goofy. I love that one. What's a loan? PPE? No, PPP. It's the payroll protection plan. That's what it's called. PPP. But yes, it is a small business loan. It's federally backed, I believe. It's written by local banks, but it's direct from the SBA. I believe. I could be wrong on that one. We have a caller, 717. You're live on the air with Free Broker Live. What are you doing?
Hey, buddy. Just wanted to call you to let you know I watch your show. Good show, man. But just want to let you know, brokers are definitely on their way out.
Yeah.
What are your future plans as far as like what you're going to do when, you know, software and the internet basically cut you guys out and truck drivers are no longer getting gouged by brokers? Like, is there going to be something else that you guys will do in the trucking industry, or do you think you guys are just going to leave the industry in general?
All right. Well, I mean, I'll entertain this silly ass question, but okay. So what do you think a freight broker does? Hold on. Don't buddy me. I'm glad you're a long time listener, but if you actually listened for a long time, then that you would realize how stupid that question was. But I'm going to entertain it for a little bit. What do you think the job function of a freight broker is? What do you think we do as freight brokers?
Shippers need trucks to move.
Right. Do you think we've just like pull the contact of the shippers out of our butts and just be like, boom, here's a shipper? Or do you think we actually spend a lot of time to nurture that relationship with the shipper?
I understand that.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I understand that completely. But the fact of the matter is software and the internet are going to make you obsolete within the next few years.
No, because software can't replace a relationship. You understand that, right? A software can't.
It absolutely can, because.
Again, you don't know how the industry works. I'll be honest. You don't understand how the industry works.
I've been in this industry just as long, if not longer, than you, bud.
Oh, you were a freight broker.
And I see. No.
No, I know. So you don't understand how this side of the industry works, right?
I understand. Okay, if you don't mind me talking, if you want to talk over, I'm going to let you talk. It's fine. I understand that you guys, your function is to get freight moved.
Yeah.
And you want to build a relationship and you want to set prices and you want to keep. I understand that 100%.
Yeah.
But it is clear as day that that is going to go away because of software and the internet. That's what this whole call is about. And my main question is for brokers out there, when this day does come, because it is coming, whether you want to admit it or not. Listen, I understand what you're saying completely, but I can guarantee you in 10 years, I can call you up and you're going to be like, damn, dude, you were right. I'll bet my life on it.
Well, I mean, by your still theory, you're going to be looking for a job in 10 years. If you think automation is going to rule the world, then come on, bro. You're saying the freight broker side of things is going to be automated, but not trucking. I got it. Hey, best of luck to you, man. I hope that you are able to learn the industry someday. See ya. Come on, man. I tried to entertain it just for a little bit. I tried to entertain it just for a little bit, but I couldn't. It's goofy. Ned Stevens, you didn't like that, bud? I was nice. I was entertaining him. I was entertaining him. All right, what's up, buddy? You're on the air.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up?
I was listening to the other guy, what he was talking about. So when I first came to the industry, I graduated out of Arizona State University. I've been brokering for 2 years. I left brokering and I went straight to recruiting. I did some recruiting and now I'm trying to get into sales.
Yeah.
So, long story short, I think I understand it pretty well. You're right. You can't replace relationships, but what you can do is, that 20%, 15, 20 at Martin, it was about, we're looking for anywhere from 10 to 15%
right.
profit margin. That's what we were looking for at Martin.
Right. So not 65% like some of these goofballs are saying.
No. I don't know who said 65%. No, 10 to 15% is what we're looking for. Cause at the end of the day, we need to create a relationship with the carriers as well. So that way I can pre-book freight and dispatch freight ahead of time because I know this carrier is going to have a truck on in this area because he always has a truck there. And if he doesn't give me first shot on his truck, he's going to give another broker first crack at his truck. So I'm always just trying to get first crack at my carrier's truck.
Right.
And that's what it's all about, building that relationship and same thing that customers want. But I hope the other guys listen. The one thing that you should have said, the other guy that was talking was, you talk about money. Money, the only way that brokers are going to leave this industry is if you go direct from shipper to the carriers, to the trucks. And do you agree with that?
From
shippers to the carriers, like using tech. So he was trying to bring up tech and technology. And yeah, he has a point. It's a tool.
Right.
I mean, if you look at Truck Stop, did you watch that video they just posted?
No.
Truck Stop, you talked to Alexa.
Oh, yeah. That's a really Alexa. Old video. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But unfortunately, it's not that easy because the customers are all. So do you understand at that point, the shipper becomes a broker and shippers are already making, you know that because you worked on the broker side. So, you know, shippers are putting a margin on every single load anyway. So trying to say that, okay, so a shipper can go directly to a TMS system and then deal with all the compliance and stuff that goes on. That's why there are freight brokers. I know a lot of people a lot of people just argue, but those are the people that rely on brokers, which is ironic. Okay,
that's a good point. Yeah. The compliance part, big time.
Yeah. Because you can train. Like, that's the thing about AI. I'm a huge freight tech guy. So I'm a huge fan of freight tech and AI and machine learning and all that stuff. But unfortunately, there's only so much you can train it. You know what I mean? It's going to kick back and do all that stuff. It is what it is. But all right, man. Thanks for calling in.
Think right load. Hold on, real quick. What do you think of right load?
No comment.
Okay, no worries. Take care, sir.
Yeah, bye. I knew where that conversation was going. RD Trucking said, "How dumb are you? You already got replaced by tech. Your customer left and started putting their freight on the load boards themselves." That's not me getting replaced by tech. That's you guys, the idiot carriers, accepting loads for super cheap. That just it proves a point. You know, if you're content working at market rates and you don't want anyone actually negotiating on your behalf, then yeah, you don't need freight brokers. But do you think a shipper is actually going to sit there and negotiate back and forth? Let's look at how long it takes Uber to become profitable with their freight, their new bidding platform. Because anyone that's used JB Hunt 360, Amazon, or any of these sites that allow you to bid against other carriers, guess what ends up happening? The brokers make a much larger margin. That's what ends up happening. Or the software providers make a much larger margin because the carriers are now bidding against each other. You don't have a broker, whether you like it or not, that's sitting there and going, no, you can't pay the guy $1,000. You have to pay $2,000. Otherwise, we're not going to get a truck. That's the thing. There's a lot of transactional action that goes on behind the scenes that a lot of carriers just don't know. And I can't really fault them for it unless they call in and then say, you're going to get replaced. And what are you going to do? but I can't fault them for it because you guys don't know how this side of the industry works. The only thing you see is a perception because some bonehead makes a video and you say, okay, all brokers are evil. All brokers are making 65%. It doesn't actually work that way. And I could beat it into all your heads, you know, but it doesn't, I guess it doesn't matter. But it is. David Quacklebaum said, if you're pulling that freight, you are the problem and I'm a carrier. Yeah. Yeah. If you're pulling the cheap freight. Yeah. You know, a lot of people do that. Selvin said, I'm going to beat up all the Uber drivers when they drop me off at the destination. Well, now, because you know that new thing. You guys want to talk about freight. You guys want to talk about cheap freight and companies that are taking advantage of the situation. So Uber, I talked about this the other day. And just so you guys know, so while everyone's protesting cheap freight and while rates are super low, Uber does one thing. they open up their bidding platform to allow carriers so they can put a low margin. A lot of people try to say, well, you know, you're not bidding a rate down. You're not bidding. There's always a book it now rate on the bid loads. But think of how that is, because here's as a broker. I post a load out at 8 o'clock in the morning. If I cover that load at 8 o'clock in the morning, I am making more on that load at 8 o'clock in the morning than if I'm covering a load at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because carriers are accepting that load. So they have it, and I'm putting it out for the lowest rate I can as a broker. It's a sales thing. So I put it out at the lowest rate I can to try to get it covered at eight. And as the day passes by, I got to try to pay more and more and more so that finally I get a carrier to bite and a carrier to take the load. Think about the way Uber works. Instead of it going on like that, they put the lowest rate they could possibly do. And now they open up their bidding platform. So carriers go in there and say, oh, I'll do this. The load's posted for 1,000. I'll do it for 2,000. And then another carrier comes in and says, I'll do it for 800. Or, you know, and you can't go below the 1,000, but carriers are going to bid each other off. So where a broker typically would say, I'll put it for 1,000, but I'm probably going to end up having to pay, you know, $2,000 to get the load moved, or not. I mean, these are just numbers, but I'm probably going to have to pay a little bit more to get it moved. The computer, instead, with these bidding platforms, it puts a low rate and then lets you guys destroy your own companies by bidding the load down. And now with all this freight tech and all this stuff that's going on, there's a company called Cloud Trucks. Has anyone heard of it? I think it's one of the first virtual fleets. So it's a trucking company where you can go and lease on your truck. And this is the best part. If you don't have a truck and you're an ex-Uber driver, or you just have a CDL and you've had your CDL for 2 years and you're clean, you can then go and rent a truck from Ryder with no money down and be your own little business owner. It's not a joke. And then you can bid on all this Uber freight. It's crazy, right? It's crazy. RD Trucking said your relationship doesn't mean squat. I could see you're just trolling, but if you want to call in too, I'll educate you as well. I have no problem. That's what I like doing, is I like talking to people and trying to educate them the best I can. But if you come at with like complete stupidity, it makes it kind of hard sometimes. Hey, what's up, man? You're on the air. 614 number. You're on the air. Or 617. I'm sorry.
Hello.
Yeah. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hi. I listened to you for a few days, right?
Yeah.
And a broker is needed. A broker is a mediator between the shipper and the carrier. The shipper, the only reason why shippers don't have a logistic team is because they don't have all day. Because I might think that I'm worth $6 a mile. The next guy might think he's worth $10 a mile. So on and so on.
Right.
So you as a broker is the mediator to tell that shipper, I can move your freight for XYZ.
Right.
And then, so why don't you agree? Why don't you feel that a carrier should know exactly? Because once you and the shipper agree, once you say, look, I can only move your freight for $3 a mile. But once the shipper agree to that, why don't you think the carrier should know what you charge the shipper to move his freight for?
Well, because I would like to say it's because I'm a realist and I understand that. And as someone that started in a truck, I didn't accept freight unless I knew I was making money. So for me, I don't care. Like, for example, if you and I are going after the same load and I know that I want to make $2 a mile, I could give two shits whether you charge $3 or $4 a mile. It wouldn't matter to me. You know, so why does it matter to somebody else? I get it now. The only time it matters right now is because some brokers are gouging, and a lot of people don't understand supply and demand. So we're arguing back and forth amongst ourselves like children. But it what's it matter? How long have you been driving?
About 20-something years.
Okay, so
I've been an owner-operator for the last 15, 16 years. I'm in the LTL business, so
that's a different thing. But in 2018, did anybody have the same argument where you want to know how much a broker makes in 2018, where you guys were getting $3 or $4 or $5 a mile? I could tell you. I already know the answer.
I don't think a broker should make no more than 10-15% of anything, because today a truck is 200,000. everything else that costs of an operation. So a broker don't have to bear the fuel prices, the cost of everything. Just like you say, what's the name in demand, right?
Supply and demand.
Still gonna cost me the supply and demand, but it's still gonna cost me the same to move that freight.
Right.
Fuel ain't gonna change. Nothing ain't gonna change for me. But if you get someone to move that freight, you still make a profit as a broker. The truck driver is the only one that loses out, because if you go down the road and blow a tire, the guy, whether a Bridgestone in Pascal, Maine, is going to cost the same as Seattle, Washington, right, if you blow that tire. He's not going to give me a break because I said, well, I loaded from over there and they don't pay the same. But the broker don't care. As long as you get that load from point A to point B, he still makes a profit.
But you do understand that brokers don't make the same profit on every single load. It's not like a universal. We all make 10% or we all make 3%, or it doesn't actually work that way. And we also, more than not, we're not the ones that are forcing you guys to accept a load. So typically, if we offer you a load for $1,000 and you say no, we have two choices. One, find a different carrier to move it for $1,000 or pay more. I don't understand. From a carrier background, I don't understand why how much someone else makes matters unless you're making enough money. I could see from this point, because everyone's under the false pretenses that everybody out there is price gouging. That's not the truth, and hopefully people open up their books to be able to prove that. But that's not the way it really is, and so I don't fault anyone for believing it.
You say you're a realist, right?
Yeah.
You got to keep it real. Keep it 100, man. If you knew that there wasn't no money in brokering, you wouldn't be doing it. It's easier. I mean, your overhead is way, and your responsibility is way less of the burden of what a owner operator or a truck driver got to deal with.
It's a job. It's a job. Just like driving a truck is a job. You made a choice to become an owner operator. I made a choice to become a broker. Nobody held a gun to my head and said, you got to do this job. Nobody held a gun to your head and said, you got to do this job. You could have went and become a company driver. Huh?
You used to be an owner operator.
Absolutely.
And once you realize that you couldn't beat them, you joined them.
No, actually, once I realized that I didn't have overhead what became more important to me was spending time with my family than being out on the road, and I had the availability to go and work in a different sector. Not everyone has that option, but are you forced, is driving a truck the only skill you possess? Because you sound sound like you're miserable driving a truck and you're just trying to lay blame on everybody else. If you're absolutely miserable, then get out of the truck and go try to do something else.
Yeah, believe me, I love this. I live by this. I eat, sleep, shit this.
All right.
I understand. It's common sense. Business is common sense one-on-one. You, as a broker, is just a mediator between me. And if you building a relationship with a shipper, it's because you put in that shipper head that you can move his freight for cheap. That's the only reason why shippers don't have all day to sit on the phone and go back and forth with carriers. Because like I said, I understand that a broker is needed to be a mediator, but a broker shouldn't be getting rich off the backs of owner operators.
All right, here's a question for you. This is a very serious one. Do you have direct customers?
Yes.
How many direct customers do you have that you are concerned about how much a freight broker makes or doesn't make? Do you have one direct customer or do you have many?
I have about three or four, but a broker could come in there and cut my rate anytime he get ready to. If he could get in, my service right now is what's keeping me. But I'm not naive. A broker could come in there, and I had a customer in the Carolinas. I give you a quick question. I had a customer, a carrier, CR England, came in there and told the customer that, oh, we can move your freight. They had drop trailers capabilities and that. The shipper told all the carriers that was hauling for them direct that we had to get the loads through this carrier, CR England.
Yeah.
We decided not to. You know, they did a 5-year contract with CR England. You know how long? Because they couldn't do what the carriers did. That contract lasted 5 months, and the shipper called all the carriers back.
Yeah.
Some of us went back, some of us didn't, but they paid dearly for it.
Yeah,
they
but
kicked that carry out of
it. I got you. Do you understand that a broker can also be undercut by a carrier, and a carrier can be undercut by a broker, and I lose freight to brokers and I win freight from other brokers? Right. That is literally business 101. That's it, bro. Yeah. I mean, it's carriers fight each other as well. You guys, I mean, I think what everyone wants is a handout. And unfortunately, right now, you all have to make up. You all. What do you mean? Here we go, bro. I just entertain. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Regulate the rates.
Regulating the rates doesn't matter. You know what, and if it does to some of you guys, then that's it. But the truth of the matter, and I put you on mute. I'm not hanging up yet until I'm done what I'm saying. You have the right to make a decision as a business owner to do what you want. If you're not getting paid enough, then you don't haul the freight. But sitting and blaming everybody for everybody, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, to me, to some of you guys, it does. To me, it doesn't make any sense. I've lost customers to brokers. I lost direct shippers when I had my trucks to brokers. I've lost them to other carriers. I wasn't the cheapest carrier, and I did the same thing you did, the regional LTL. I wasn't the cheapest carrier out there, so I'd lose it to the big guys. It didn't bother me. That's the nature of the business. But thank you for calling, buddy. Anywho, let's pick up this next one. Hold on. I picked up the wrong call. Let me pick this guy up. Hey, what's up, man? You're on the air. 305.
Yo, Jorge Diaz.
What's up?
Hey, so the transparency thing, I think, is nobody's really thought it out. We don't go to the store and buy products and see how much each item that we're purchasing costs. We have a decision. We say we want this item. It's something that we desire. And we pay what we think we're going to pay. And if you don't, just walk out the store and you don't buy the item. That's the same thing with loads.
Right.
I hear freights all the time. I don't take them.
Right.
I don't bother them. I don't waste my time trying to figure out what they were making. I don't care what they had on it. But even if you do pursue it, you know, say I was to pursue, I want to know what this guy made on my load.
Right.
And let's say one thing is he made a ton. Where do I go from there?
Right.
Where do I go from there? I'm never going to work with that guy again. So all I did was just find out the guy was robbing me.
Right.
Let's say the broker didn't make a lot. Where do we go from there? Because now the guy's like, damn, this guy was doubting my trust. Now the relationship that was good to begin with got soured because you wanted to see what he made.
Yeah.
Most people don't want anyone to know. It's a private thing. You know what I mean? I don't get it. But what I really called for is the loan thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I have two, you know, the good guy in me says this is great. You know, I feel bad for people that are losing, you know, their trucks or are about to get out of the business. But then the business guy, the guy that's been, you know, listening to all these complaints says, these might be the same people that are causing rates to go down in the first place.
As
a country, we're going to just help someone that was going to, one, fail, or two, mess up things for the guys that are doing good. Because right now I'm working. I'm not sitting back complaining or,
right,
you know, it should be. I'm finding a way to make it work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's unfair, you know, because now we're giving out handouts. I never agree with a handout in the first place, you know, like,
yeah,
what does it really solve, that loan? What does it really solve? I mean, they would have to do they can't just give it to everybody.
Yeah, they don't have to give it to anybody. It's only whoever needs it, and it's just because some people are fiscally responsible and have money saved to be able to survive during a down crisis. But unfortunately, a lot of people got their you know, their pockets, you know, like I said before, people save for a rainy day. We've all heard that expression, except 2019 was like a big rainy day for everybody. So a lot of people were hoping to come into 2020. They were hoping rates were going to ramp up. And then we had the coronavirus pandemic that just battered everybody. A lot of people joined, you know, the industry in 2018, survived 2019 when rates were not that great anyway, and then came into 2020 expecting for it to pick up and then to get the big middle finger from everybody. I don't fault anyone for needing financial assistance. And I, you know, I would do everything I can to try to get people that, but no, a lot of people have to be fiscally responsible. This is a business. That's why it's very important to be able to. Yeah, it's a business. But thank you for calling, buddy.
No, the good person.
All right. Oh no, you can go ahead. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
Hey, I agree with you. The good person inside of me says, "So let's help out these people." I understand all that, but I'm more worried about: are we helping someone that was an actual problem? All I'm saying is, I hope they just don't hand it out, you know, so like willingly, you know, do a little bit of due diligence, you know, like look into the individual, the company, whatever, you know, their safety ratings, all that, because if they're just gonna hand out money.
Yeah.
Every single person is going to ask for it. We're just going backwards. Because those are the guys that are taking rates not knowing what it costs per mile to run a truck. Those are the guys that are, those are the problem.
Yeah.
Those are the uneducated.
I hear you. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are just, they're not meant to be in the industry. And we see that a lot, like a lot of the frustrations. I mean, I complain about it all the time. I complain a lot about the way brokers do things. And I complain about carriers doing things stupid and shippers for that matter. But the fact is that you have to have a full, before you can really go and critique someone, you have to understand how the other side works. Cause if you don't, it does what a lot of the people are finding out, kind of makes you look like an ass. And then you just become a stubborn person. That's it. But thank you for calling in, buddy.
All right, bro.
Yeah. All right. This guy's been on hold for a minute. I apologize. Excuse me. I apologize for the long hold. 815 number. What's up, man? 815 number. You're on the line. All right. Maybe not. 267 number. You're on the line. Pennsylvania. 267. You're on the line. All right, from now on, I'm going back to the whole, you got to press one, otherwise I'm not picking up the lines. So when you call in and then you get on the show, you got to press one after you start hearing the show. That way I could tell that you're ready to talk and you're not just wasting time and listening to it that way. David Quackelbaum said, Jim O'Donnell, I'm good. My equipment's paid for. I shut down at the end of produce season last year. A lot of people just don't. I mean... Let's not take away. There's people that don't deserve to be in this industry, both brokers and carriers. There's people that just don't. You know, there are some brokers that are just evil. But to say that that the industry doesn't need brokers, it's ironic that the people that are saying that rely on brokers to get loads. You know who's probably not saying that are the people with direct freight that are hauling freight. Press one if you're ready. Oh, there you go. Hey, what's up? You're on the air. What's up, buddy?
I guess, I've been driving for about, about 10 years now.
Yeah.
And out of the 10, about 5 years that I've been an operator. And, you know, these guys out here saying that they don't need brokers and stuff, I kind of want to know, when they go across the country and, you know, with their load, how are they going to get a customer that's halfway across the country to get a return load back or either pinpoint, anywhere around, around the country. There's no way you can, gather that many customers with just a small owner operator, even a fleet.
Right.
So, I find it hard to believe that everyone's just going to have their own customers out of nowhere,
Yeah.
Almost impossible.
Yeah. That's called practical thinking right there. And there's not a lot of that going on right now.
Like I run flatbed and I go up into Massachusetts a lot, out of like the Pennsylvania area and stuff.
Yeah.
And I know going up there that, I'm going to make some money going up there, but coming out, I'm not going to make anything coming out really. And if I do, it's because a broker is really desperate to, move a load out of there. And that's, and that's not like super money even desperate. That's just what he can offer because the customer won't offer anything because the
right.
customer knows what the rates are coming out of there.
Yeah.
So, it all depends. If you're in a honey hole area and you're finding a rate that's lower than what you usually pull out of there, you shouldn't pull it out of there for any less than, what you usually pull it out of there for. But you'll always find somebody else that'll do it cheaper, most likely.
Right.
And it's not really, you're not really fighting against the broker. You're fighting against other carriers that just don't know what they're worth.
Right. Yeah, that's what I think a lot of people misunderstand. Thank you for calling in, bud. I think a lot of people misunderstand just how much business sense you need to have to own a business. You know, I know it's a novel concept, right? But you have to understand business in order to run and manage a business. If you don't understand it, your business is destined to fail. Like if you go out and you're paying a $900 a week truck payment and freight rates are super low, yeah, you can kind of expect that you're not going to be able to survive. Or, and there's all different instances on just not, I mean, how many people have called into this that don't understand what their operating cost is or how to calculate it? You know, it doesn't make sense. If there's racism in the chat, then you tell me and I'll kick them out, because I don't think there shouldn't be. If you're on hold and you want to come on the line, you got to press 1, please. So I see that you're ready to talk. David Quackelbaum said, I only had 2 direct customers on my flatbed side hauling steel, but I got under my reefer produce season, ran off broker, something like that. That's good. Let me see. These guys aren't pressing 1, but whatever. Let me see. 832, you're on the line.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
What up, man?
Hey, I've been following your show for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
And I really want to congratulate you on what you're doing.
Thank you.
There's not a lot of people out there that's keeping us informed on whatever's going on out there, you know?
Yeah, I try. So thank you, sir. Thank you for that. It's a big
cool. Yeah. I bought the brokers and carriers story, you know, we're just going back and forth with the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not that we don't need brokers. I mean, we do, because, I mean, we're not going to have 10 direct customers.
Right.
If we go to Pennsylvania, maybe your direct customers doesn't have anything out of there, right, and a broker might. The only thing about it is that what I don't agree is that the brokers base their rates on how many empty trucks they have in the area. That's the only thing I don't agree about it.
Yeah, but I get it. Why? But that's, well, because that's market. You're dealing with spot freight. The goal of spot freight is to find a truck for as cheap as you can. That's what the spot freight market is. So the rate is different every day. So when we quote stuff as a freight broker, we look at the lane rates, you know, we look at previous lane data, and then we look at the capacity, because sometimes lane rates, like right now, it may show 88 cents or 90 cents a mile as a lane rate. I'm not going to do that. And maybe the trucks that are out there aren't going to do it, but I know that the likelihood of being able to move a load for a lot is a lot. But again, I think, if there's a lot of trucks there, it's really easy for me to find capacity for a load. Therefore I could typically pay less, but you got to understand that difference in revenue, we're not dealing on contracted rates. So the difference in revenue doesn't mean that the broker's making more money because there's more trucks in the area. Not all the time. Sometimes it does, but usually when we are quoting, we don't have a contracted rate. It's not like we're quoting to find out how much we're paying the carrier. It's we're quoting to find out how much we're going to charge the customer. So if, for example, it's going to cost you $20 to get a load or $2,000 to get a load picked up, and we add 10%, so we bill $2,200 to the customer, we're quoting. It's all real time. That's what the spot market is. We're quoting at the same time as we're booking the load, more often than not. So it's not like the contract's at $4,000 and we look at capacity to say, oh, we only have to pay $2,000 because there's a lot of trucks. That's not the way the industry actually works. There's two sides of customers. You have the contract freight customers, and then you have the spot market side.
So as a broker, you don't know how much you're going to get paid from the customer or the shipper.
No, not until
you get a quote from the carrier.
Sometimes, or unless we're good and we know exactly how much we're going to call the customer. But usually for me, for my customers, they don't send over how much we're going to make. They don't send it over like, oh, say, you know, for example, like they don't send a quote over typically and say, hey, I've got a load going from, you know, Newark to Dallas and I want to pay $1,000. They don't do that. They say, I have a load from Newark to Dallas. How much is it going to cost? And then typically what we as brokers, there's two sides of brokers. So me, I try to get everything done before and get awarded the load before I work on it. But a lot of times what brokers do is, as soon as they get that quote, they throw it up on the load board. You call and say you want $2,000 for it, yeah, or whatever maybe, the case maybe. May be. And then we go back to the customer and then grab it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, maybe a lot of brokers need to do what you're doing, because I have a friend of mine that he owns a warehouse, and he's my direct shipper out of Houston.
Yeah.
When he has, you know, anything that needs to be moved. But he also gives out freight to brokers.
And right.
the brokers give them a one rate, and then the carrier gets another rate. So, and I've seen that most of the time, the broker's making at least 65 to 70%. That's what I've seen from that, you know, from that friend that I have in Houston. I don't know if it's like that everywhere.
I'd be hard pressed. I'd be hard pressed. I've been in this industry a long time. It doesn't happen. Doesn't. Brokers aren't making that kind of money. Even on LTL, brokers aren't really getting 50, 60, 70% profit margins. And you're talking about a couple $100 loads. You know, so even on LTL, they're not even getting that. And I used to sell LTL services too. So, I mean, best of luck to you, but I can't believe that because I've been doing this for a long time and I've never seen instances. Are there the one-offs where we can make more money on a load? But yeah, but it doesn't happen like everyone says it does. And the only thing I could do is just tell you, it doesn't happen like everyone says it does. Whether it's up to you, whether or not you believe that. Yeah. But thank you for calling in, bud.
All right.
Right. Yeah, bye. The 267 number that's on hold, you got to press 1 if you want to come on the air. 702, you're on the air right now. Well, right now you are.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I've been listening to you for quite some time. I've been an owner-operator 12 years. I have some direct customers, and I want to say, you know, thank you to you. And a lot of people don't. I mean, for what you're doing right now, trying to educate folks in this industry, you've got a job to do. I've got a job to do. I have, you know, like direct customers, and I kind of use like for stuff when I pick up direct customer and head out.
Yeah,
I've been 12 years in it. You know, I've got the handful of brokers that I use, guys that I've known since pretty much I got started in this deal.
Yeah,
you know, and when I first got started, it was tough. To, you know, I kind of felt like some of these other guys now. It's like, oh, you know, I'm always getting, you know, like. Sometimes I'm getting screwed, you know, the market's higher, lower, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, after I continually hauled the same guy in and out, you know, he would be, you know, maybe not, you know, right off the bat, but, you know, weeks, months down the road, he's like, well, you know, listen, man, he's like, I'm only making 50 on this load. Right. And I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. And he actually proved it to me. He sent me over what he charges customer, you know, pre all this, everybody wanting transparency and everything else.
Yeah.
And he goes, look, this is what I billed the customer. This is what I paid you.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, the reason I pay you what you pay you is you're on time. You're always early to pick up. You're always early to deliver. He goes, you sometimes call me asking if you can bump the delivery appointment up, right. You know, and I don't have to worry about you.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people don't understand that, you know, that fly-by-night carrier service deal, you know, he's here today, gone tomorrow. And his word doesn't mean garbage
right.
in this industry.
Right.
You know, if I make a mistake and I tell you that I'm going to take something and you caught me when I'm sleeping and I did the math wrong in my head because I wasn't going to do something. And I ended up saying, oh, well, you know, a good broker is going to say, listen, man, you've done this for me a long time. Are you sure that's what you want to do it for? Yeah, I think you made a mistake.
Right.
You know, and you made a mathematical error and you figured it at a buck a mile.
Right.
You know, and he's like, you might want to recalculate that. He's like, and you're like, oh, yeah, no, you're right. I apologize. You know, a bad broker is going to just say, okay, cool, you do it for a buck a mile. Well, if I lose money on it, that's my problem because, I, you know, you caught me when I was sleeping.
Right.
But if you have a relationship built with somebody on a call back to your direct customer, they're not going to do that to you because they're going to be like, oh, we screwed this guy once. And, you know, we know he's always up in that area. And now he's done.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I mean, you're saying the percentage you take and you're welcoming, you know, like, you know, hell, I'll show you what I make. You know, I mean, people would be surprised. And I think they would be surprised.
I do too. That's why. That's why.
To get out.
Yeah, that's why I'm not opposed to the freight transparency argument. You know, but like for the same regard, I would still absolutely block people after they haul a load. If I tell you that I make this amount, and then you question that, and I prove it, I mean that's a severed relationship there. And I know people don't believe that brokers and carriers have relationships, but we do. You know, one of my good friends is someone that's hauled freight for me for years, and he's one of my good friends now. So we do. People, you just got to get around it. But thank you, bud.
Yeah. Hey, you have a good one.
Yeah, you too. All right. We've got another caller. 870 number. What's up, man?
What's up, brother?
What up?
So I've been listening to you for a little while, man, on all these Facebook sites that have turned into a bashing of brokers all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people, I think in the years I've been doing this, almost 10 years, I see the name of broker has just become so incredibly tarnished due to people coming in and making a bad name for us. You know, you just said it on your last call, the relationship between drivers and brokers is actually real. We have quite a few guys, and I run a pretty successful office in Cincinnati, Ohio, right down from the road from one of the big names of the guys who are making a bad name for brokers in the industry. But you know, we don't even have to throw our freight on boards. You know, we have our guys call us because we're going to be reliable to them. We're going to take care of them. We're going to pay them. We're going to make sure the tension's done, and we're going to negotiate the best rate possible for them.
Right.
But the big side to what these guys are saying that really grinds my gears is the fact that we have no quote unquote overhead. It really shocked me. My insurance policy alone, and I'm not even the owner of the company, costs almost $20,000 a year just to carry our qualified insurance for these customers and shippers.
Right.
That's just that. And then you want to put our surety bond into it. And then you want to put our payroll into it. And then you want to put us fronting the money to the carriers that we pay in 3 days with no questions asked, as long as the BOL is in and expects our customer to return payment to us. I mean, we're in hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, upwards of, you know, $200,000-$300,000 a month fronting money.
Right.
And then these guys sit back and they say, we have no overhead or no skin in the game, or, you know, we don't care about this or that. But at the end of the day, man, what we do, and you've been there, is incredible. We have a relationship that takes somewhat of months, possibly years, to build and chase to get in to find that freight. I don't know, man. It's weird how all of a sudden when it goes from them making $4 or $5 a mile and, you know, ripping our heads off to, you know, something we don't control, this pandemic, and shippers putting in air court driving the rates down, and all of a sudden it's we're being assholes, and it's like I just you lose transition in that all of a sudden.
So. Yeah. I mean, I get the difference of you know, because people here are, you know, commenting now $20K a year from multiple peeps. They don't understand. They're used to, I mean, the operational expenses to run a solo one truck operation are outrageous. When you include fuel and all that stuff, people don't understand. Everyone wants to care. Well, it costs me more. Brokers aren't making $2 or $3 a mile. You know, it doesn't work that way. And there's such a disconnect. And that's why I think that there needs to be some sort of education requirement for new brokers and for new carriers to get out to actually experience the industry. Because otherwise people are just when rates come up, this conversation will die down. But the next time it happens again, it's going to start the same. Someone is asking where you got your start in the industry. I think I already know, but
started at the good old TQL.
I gotcha.
Did 6 years there, got into the management level. Yeah, man. And it's once I saw how their foundations and how they treated their carriers and what they did and how they held money, I backed out, man. I severed ways with them and came to a company that's reliable and honest and upfront with people. And we do our best to try and maintain that broker name, man. But at the end of the day, you know, it's an ebb and flow. It's always going to be that way. It always has been that way, and it's never going to change. You know, if you don't know how to manage in the downtime to get to the good times, you're never going to make it, even in the brokerage world. I mean, right now, we don't have a lot of contract freight. We play with a lot of spot market freight. Right. But even the contract freight that we have, these shippers are basically telling us to shove it up our ass, and we're going to throw this out to the spot and let everybody fight for it.
Carriers don't believe that. Yeah, carriers don't believe it because they don't see that side of the thing. I mean, there's someone right now. I suggest every single carrier that's watching this that thinks that brokers are the one controlling the market, go watch Cassandra Gaines's video from last week. She had six different shippers on that were all saying they are taking advantage of the market. There were no freight brokers on that show. It was all shippers. So, a lot of people don't realize it.
And you got Santiago out here calling these postings and trying to make brokers look like clowns for lowering rates. Why don't we flip the tables and have a broker call the shipper and have them talk and tell them what they're doing to us? Because I just quoted about three different loads of frozen food, and they came back and said I had a rate that was $500 lower than what I did. And I'm like, well, how in the heck are you getting that done at $1 a mile, man? And it's like, that's what they don't see, is the fact that we actually come back and these shippers tell us that we're stupid for trying to quote a fair rate when these guys are coming in an undercut.
Why don't you just make a video doing that? It would go viral. I'm not.
Go viral.
Yeah, it would go. That's great promotion for your company. but yeah.
Man, you know what? I might be the next Santiago, be the face of the broker.
I guarantee if you did that, if you put a video out, you'd still get bashed for being a broker. It wouldn't do anything. They'd say it's a stage video. They're all full of crap. But
scumbag.
All right, man. Thank you for calling in.
I appreciate you, brother, man. Keep doing what you do.
All right,
yes, sir.
All right, 479 number. I'll put you on. You didn't press one. Hey, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. What's up?
Hey, sorry about that. It's here we go. That sounds better. So I've been seeing a lot of these comments from people talking about. But one thing you didn't touch on is how many times is the carrier giving you their truck a week? Versus, let's say, like the market flips, produce season hits, you got a bunch of potatoes out of Idaho hitting, right?
Yeah.
Everyone wants cheap rates going into Idaho all of a sudden. And because why? They're getting $4, $5 a mile leaving Idaho with potatoes, right?
Yeah.
So as a broker, I understand that, you know, because I ran the Western 11 states at Martin Transport when I brokered. Now I don't broker. But long story short,
right,
if a carrier came to me, he's like, hey, Rocky, I need this load that you have, you know, I saw in your distribution list, you emailed, I need that load. I'm like, yeah, but I got this other carrier who has been giving me 6 trucks a week for the last 6 weeks.
Right.
And he asked for it. What would you do? What would you do if you were in my position?
And
take it for cheaper. Then I'll take it for cheaper than him.
Right.
And I was like, well, if you take it for cheaper, then, you know, that's not going to help me in the long run.
Right.
I'd rather give him a fair rate. Not too high, not too low, like basically a year-round rate to where, hey, but no one really wants to do year-round to Idaho. I have a few guys out of Sacramento to Boise.
Yeah.
And I delivered to Cisco in Utah, but that's about it. Unless you have like contracts on your own, it's tough to do year-round in those states where there's a lot of produce. But again, I work with 6-week averages. That's the best way to do it. And, you know, you want to always give your truck to the same broker and create that relationship and let them know, hey, when you needed trucks, I gave you 5 loads a week. Now, you know, I need loads because there's like 30 trucks for every one load.
Right.
Now you got to take care of me. And that's how I did things, man. I moved 100 loads a week, man. I moved a lot of loads doing just pre-booking freight and just sending them all out. I would just dispatch loads 2 weeks out at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. And if people want to get mad, right, when you book loads way in advance like that, you end up getting cheaper than the market usually, you know, at least in my experience of brokering freight, because you get the savvy brokers or the savvy carriers rather that already have a lane. They're using that as a backhaul. They already know how much they're coming up, how much money they're making. A lot of people don't use that.
Win-win.
Oh, I know. It's a win-win for everyone. Cause as a broker, you make more money and the carrier already knows that, hey, I'm booked for the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
They have their own customer.
But usually people don't do that. They just wonder, just like the caller yesterday, they wonder how they could book freight while driving down the road doing 65. So it is what it is.
Week do you do this? Is this every day?
The show?
This is my first time.
Yeah, I do the show every day, usually at 2 o'clock. I was putting out the TIA article, so I was a little delayed. And then occasionally I do videos at night too. If you're watching on YouTube, just subscribe or something like that. Or if you're watching on Facebook, just like the page and follow it. And you'll get
watching on YouTube.
Yeah, you'll get notifications. But thanks, man, for tuning in.
Hey, no problem. No problem. Hey, but originally when I first called, I'm interested in joining some type of tech broker.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know your thoughts on Rightload, man. You never told me. I know you said no comment, but is there a reason you don't want to?
Well, because I don't necessarily believe in that model. In terms of that particular model right now. They do too much broker bashing to get popular, and I don't like that. And I've talked to Matt a lot with Rightload. I talk to him a lot. I just don't like that. And I'm curious to see when capacity comes up. They've been around for a while. This is their second run at trying to make it work. So, you know, I think that is the
software.
Yeah. The DFM technology is pretty intense. And I know, you know, what they're built on. And if they're successful, they're successful. I tend not to back anybody until I believe in it. That's kind of my personal preference, you know, and I haven't seen their software. And I don't really plug it. I don't like people advertising it in the chats because I don't know it. So I'm not going to put my name behind it. Like Ascent TMS, I've worked with them for 5 years. So I'm perfectly comfortable as them as an advertiser, but a company that I don't really know. I don't really take on even paid advertisements until they prove themselves. That's just me. But thanks, man.
No, that makes sense. You gave me your opinion. I appreciate it.
Yeah, bro. Bye. All right. So, I just hung up on the wrong call. So whoever was just on hold and waiting patiently, please call back. I apologize. All right. I'm going to wrap this show up pretty soon, too. You guys are going back and forth in the chat like crazy here. And so keep it down. Ibram Berkertoff and the other dude, keep it down. Fuel price, tolls, and available freight truck to move the freight. All right. So here's the other call I accidentally hung up on. Let me pick this guy up here. Hey, hey, man. Sorry about that. What's up? You're on the air.
Hey, just to alliterate off, about the other caller that you just had on and about transparency. Yeah. Like when he said that there's still, he's had guys running freight for dollar a mile and stuff right now. You know, a lot of those mega carriers actually do have their own, marketing, if you want to call it, like almost their own brokerage or their own marketing team right now. And they go out and find their own, their own carriers, their own shippers and everything too. So right now, some of them are probably still moving freight at the same cost, just about, if not far off, from what they were. So they're still having backhauls. So if you have all these trucks out here and you still have mega carriers out here running, running loads, they're still going to have to get back to their shippers. So they're going to still accept those dollar a mile runs or whatnot.
Right.
And, they also have a less, per mile rate to run also. So that, it's easy for them to push out, in this tight market, it's easy for them to push out a small one, one owner operator, even a small fleet, no problem.
Right.
And then, back to transparency, if the brokers are going to have to be transparent, you don't think that they're going to want the carriers to be transparent also? I don't want any other carrier knowing what, who I run for and what customer I have.
Yeah.
Because I know right as soon as that happens, I'll have the guy down the road from here going to, try to stab me in the back and run his piece of crap truck that he has and try to get me out of this customer.
Yeah.
It's a two-way street on that end.
And that's the one thing. That's what the TIA said in their press release yesterday. They did make mention of the push for transparency and that they didn't want this to lead to full regulation, and in terms of the industry, the trucking industry, because ultimately that's what would happen. That's what everybody that's been in this industry for a couple of years believes. So.
Yeah, this is business. This is, put your big boy pants on. You're either going to, fight harder and you make it or you're not. It's right. Just like if you go down to buy a car, you might go to 10 different dealerships. And out of those 10, you might get screwed by 2, 3 or vice versa.
Right.
But, you're going to have to make that decision. It's not up to anybody else. It's you're the one that's making a decision how much you want to get bent over. And that's just, the same way, right now it's every business runs like this. It's just it's just nobody else sees it, and then nobody else actually has the knowledge to overcome, the obstacles that we have, dealing with the market, I guess.
Very true, sir. Thank you for calling in, bud.
All right. Hey, no problem with you.
See ya. All right. Which one was that? That was this guy? No, that was this one. I didn't want to hang up on the wrong guy this time. It like doesn't arrange it properly, which I don't like. Hey, what's up, man? You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Not too bad. I just wanted to call in. I'm on both sides of this coin.
Yeah.
So I'm a small fleet owner, and I've been doing this for quite some time, close to 30 years. I've got my own book of business that took me years to cultivate.
Right.
And through the years, it grew to be where I couldn't handle it with my own fleet. So I did align myself with a broker.
Right.
And the relationship that I have with my customer, enabled me to take and introduce the broker. And I set the pricing and I'm involved in everything.
Right.
So my question to these guys that want transparency and they want to take and see brokers open up their books. No matter what business is, I don't care what you're doing, what you're selling, restaurant business, whatever it is, it's about having a relationship.
Right.
And, you know, the one-off guys that are going to come in and say, you know, you're making X off of me, you know, these guys got to take and understand that this is a business built on relationships and going out and getting business, not just working off a load board. And that's what it seems to me where, you know, there's guys that, you know, they're just looking at this from a load board sense and from the mega brokers per se to keep them fed. And there's a hell of a lot more freight out there that moves than on, you know, let's say those big five mega brokers that everybody's, I've seen, has been bashing for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. People just got to go out and get their own customers. That's, that's one solution. It's easier said than done, but it's, you know, if you rely solely on the load board, then you're at the, you're going to get paid what's the market rate until you have established those relationships. And direct customers also include brokers, by the way. I'm not saying that direct customers are not brokers, because they, you know, there's been times, just like, you know, other people have said in my shows previously, where we don't post loads. We'll call direct carriers that we already know are going to provide the level of service that we need and pay them, you know, pay them good for it. And there's, you know, I've found direct customer loads where, you know, it's a load direct from the customer where I have the same carrier that's running it all the time. So it is what it is. I got to wrap this show up, man. Thank you for calling. Well, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
All right. Good deal. Good deal.
Okay. Okay. All right, bro.
I'll be keeping watch.
Oh, sorry. I'm trying to wrap this up. I took the phone number down. What's up, man? You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
This might be a silly question to ask, but do you know of any shippers, like produce shippers, who regularly work with newer freight brokers? Like, I'm a newer freight broker. It's pretty tough acquiring customers. I've got some customers, but
No, you just gotta beat on the phone hammer the phone and beat on doors and go out and get customers. But yeah. Best of luck to you. It's not a good time to do that right now, but best of luck to you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right, so I'm going to just play my last sponsor commercial, and then I will go through my little wrap-up show. So stay tuned.
Want to give your business the edge and get the most used load board app in the industry? As a DAT load board subscriber, you'll find freight faster and easier, all from the palm of your hand. Plus, you get the best pricing info available, so you can get the best rate in every negotiation. Simply log in using your DAT username and password and get access to easy-to-use tools you can't find anywhere else. Get the app on the Google Play or Apple App Store today.
All right. So, yeah, I'm just going to wrap up the show now. So what did we learn? The TIA and OOIDA were fighting about broker transparency, and then finally common sense kicked in, and the TIA put out a statement today saying, hey, you know, even though we're arguing about this broker transparency argument, we forgot about small business truckers and how to provide for them and how to keep them safe and how to try to help them continue to operate. It's kind of ironic that a freight broker association is the first one to actually publicly go out and try to do it. According to the OIDA, they put out some statement. I don't remember seeing it. I've been covering this in detail. Apparently last month, nearly a month ago, they put out a letter to Congress asking for the PPP loan to be accessible to carriers. But I haven't heard anything since rates dropped, because even on April 14th last year, the rates weren't really this bad at that time yet. So that's something else. It's something, you know, the TIA finally, that's all I could say, is they did something that to me, nobody else has done except me, you know, in talking about it. They decided to care about it, you know. It's crazy. I don't know. Mike Burgess, I mean, you're being an idiot in the comments, but I get your drift. So I'm going to delete that, because I don't like stupid, inappropriate comments. But, you know, everyone, and I've never once argued about broker transparency. I think it's stupid. First off, I don't understand the argument of it. It doesn't make sense whether or not. To me, it doesn't make sense whether I don't care how much someone else makes. That's just me. But, you know, to if other people want it and it provides some peace of mind for them, then so be it. Let them, you know, look up rates and do all that stuff. And you know, like I said, I'm for rate transparency, but I'm also for trying to keep trucks alive and keep these truckers being able to operate. And right now it doesn't seem like they're going to without any financial assistance. And the only person actually, or the only, besides me and my show, the only group that has publicly come out to my knowledge is the TIA, which they did today. But with that said, I think I'm going to wrap up this show. I do see Rick put out a new video and I thought about playing it in the show, but I don't care. Cause it's probably just nonsense. Guys, take care. Make sure you stay tuned on Monday. I will be live at 2 o'clock Eastern time, and I'll probably start doing my 5 minutes of freight again. So you'll see that available unless something breaking happens. I've got a busy weekend with board meetings for the association and all that stuff. So without further ado, goodbye.